B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Samach Vav. We're going to start on the last line of Daf Samach Hei Amud Beis, the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hakitea, an amputee, somebody who one of his legs have been amputated, Yoitza Bekav Shaloi. He's allowed to go out with a wooden foot, that he would have typically put a wooden foot to make up for the part of his leg that's been amputated. He's allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Divri Reb Meir, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. Reb Meir maintains that this is called a shoe, and the person's allowed to go out with his shoes. Reb Yosi Oyser. Reb Yosi says that it's also to go out with this on Shabbos. It's not called a shoe. It's not called a clothing. It's not called an ornament, and therefore it's considered a burden, and he's not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Vim yesh lo beis kibul ksisin tomei. If this wooden foot, besides for being able to put a person's foot into it, which has some type of a cavity to hold the foot, if besides for that there's a place there to put some rags in order to make it softer and easier for him to put his foot in it, in that case tomei, then it's called a clay kibul. It's called a kli, a vessel that has a receptacle, and then it can become tomei. And Rashi explains that if all this foot can do is hold his foot, if all the kav can do, the wooden foot, is hold the part of his leg that goes into it, that's not called a receptacle. A receptacle in Hilchos Tumah must be a type of receptacle where the kli, the vessel, is used to carry what's in it. Over here, on the contrary, the leg, his foot, does not get moved with this kav. Rather, when he moves his leg, then the kav moves with it. That's not called a receptacle in Hilchos Tumah. However, if this kav, this crutch, has in it a receptacle that you can put rags in it, in which case it contains and it's the kav is carrying the rags, it's called that it has a toich, a receptacle, and it can become tomei. Continues the Mishnah, smuchos, a person that both his feet, the end of his legs, both legs have been amputated, and then he cannot use a kav, a typical crutch. So what he would do is he would get some supports called smuchos, and these supports would be put onto his knees as well as onto his shins, the bottom part of his leg, and he would be supported on them, and that's how he would walk, sort of in a kneeling type of position. And these smuchos were made of leather. So tmein medrus, since these smuchos, these supports, are made in order to hold his whole weight, therefore it's susceptible to tumas medrus. Tumas medrus means that any person that has a tumah hayotza megufo, he became tomei because of some emission from his body, a zova or nido, and if they rest upon something that's made to be rested upon, or leaned upon, or stood on, or anything that's made to contain the person, or to hold his weight, then if a zova or nido is leaning on them or resting on them, then they become tomei medrus, and it's a very severe type of tumah. Then these smuchos, since it's there to hold the weight of the person, therefore if this person were a zov or a zova or a nida, then these smuchos, these supports, would be tumas medrus. V'yotzin ben b'shabbos, and one is allowed to go out with them on Shabbos, because it's a type of ornament for this person. V'nichnosin ben ba'azora, we know that there's a Mishnah in Brochus. We learned that a person is not allowed to go into the Har HaBayis, onto the Temple Mount, with his shoes on, with a min'ol. The question is, if these things are called shoes? And the answer is no. These supports are not considered shoes, and therefore one would be allowed to go with them into the Azorah. Continues the Mishnah. And this is a third case, a person who's even more disabled, and he's not able to support himself on his shins or on his knees. And this person would typically tie a little chair under him, and he would be sitting on this low chair, and he would use two types of crutches, bench-like crutches he was holding in his hands. He would support himself on those crutches, pull himself forward, and then land in a sitting position on this little chair. And in order to help him carry his weight whilst he's moving forward, they would make some leather or wooden type of shoe at the end of his shin or the end of his leg or whatever's left, whatever stump is left from what's been amputated. Then he would add in these little shoes type of shoes, and he would be supported on them whilst he's maneuvering forward, and then he would rest back on his chair. So says the Mishnah, Kisei, this chair that he would sit on, Usmucha is Sheloi, and these little shoe pieces at the end of his stump, Tumein Medrus, since they are there to hold his weight, they are susceptible to Tumas Medrus. Ve'en Yoitzin Ben B'Shabbos, he's not allowed to go out with these on Shabbos, and Rashi explains, because sometimes they can fall off, and I imagine it's talking about the smuchis, the little shoes that are stuck at the end of his stump, they may fall out in Rosh Hashanah, and he could end up carrying them. And anything that could fall out in Rosh Hashanah, we do not let him go out with them on Shabbos. Ve'ein nichnosin ben ba'azorah, he's not allowed to go with them into the Azorah because they are considered shoes. Continues the Mishnah, luktamin. And the Gemara is going to have three explanations what this is, but for now, we'll just translate it as a type of a mask. That's what Rashi says on the Mishnah. A type of a mask that will typically be used to scare little children. Tahirin, they are tahir, because since they are not used as a kli, as a vessel, therefore, in Hilchas Tumah, they are not Mekabel Tumah. It's also not considered an ornament, so there's no reason that it should become Tommy. Ve'ein yotzin behen, one is not allowed to go out with them on Shabbos, since it's not considered a garment, it's not considered an ornament, and therefore it's considered a burden, and one is not allowed to go out with a burden on Shabbos. The poskim say if he does go out with it, then it could be that it's only osur midrabbanon, since it's not an usual way of carrying a burden by affixing it to a person's face as a mask. Says the Gemara, Omar le Rava l'Rav Nachman, heichetnan. And here this seems that there was a discussion, what girsa, what's the correct version in the Mishnah, and the implications of that would be what Reb Meir holds and what Reb Yossi holds. Our Mishnah, the way we have it, starts with Hakitea Yotze Bekav Sheloi. An amputee is allowed to go out with his kav, Divir Reb Meir. Reb Yossi Oyser. Reb Yossi says it's Osa. Others, however, had a version, Ein Hakitea Yotze Bekav. A kitea is not allowed to go with a kav, divir Reb Meir. Reb Yossi matir, and Reb Yossi is the one that says it's muta. So the Rava said to Rav Nachman, heichetnan, what's the correct version of this Mishnah? Omer, Le'ev Nachman said to Rava, lo yodano, I don't know. Hilchas amai, Rava asked Rav Nachman, according to who is the halacha? What's the halacha? Omer, le'lo yodano. Rav Nachman again answered back, I don't know. Itmar, Omer Shmuel. Shmuel said as follows, Ein Hakitea. Shmuel says that the Girsa, the correct version, is not like we have it, it's Ein Hakitea, and that would mean that Reb Meir holds that it's Osa for the amputee to go out with this wooden foot, and Reb Yossi is the one that says it's Muta. V'chein Omar Rav Huna, Ein Hakitea. In the version of Rav Huna's Mishnah, also it says Ein Hakitea. Omar Rav Yosef. Hoyel v'omar Shmuel ein hakitea. Rav Yosef says that since Shmuel says that the version is ein hakitea, v'omar Rav Huna ein hakitea, and Rav Huna also has this version, anan nami nistni ein hakitea. We also will learn the Mishnah ein hakitea, not like it says in our Mishnah. Maskif lo Rava bar Shira. Rava bar Shira is now going to ask a question on Rav Yosef. Loisha mielu hod masni lo Rav Chanon bar Rava lechia barav kamei de Rav. Bukituna de Beirav, did you, Rav Yosef, not hear what was learnt by Rav Chanon bar Rava to Rav Chia bar Rav in front of Rav in the Kitoina, in the small chambers in the yeshiva of Rav? What did they learn there? Ein hakitea yeitze bekav sheloi. Then whoever was reading this Mishnah, Rav Chanon bar Rava, he read the Mishnah as Rav Yosef suggested. Ein hakitea yeitze bekav sheloi divi Reb Meir. Rabbi Yossi mati. Rabbi Yossi is the one that says it's muta. Umachvi le Rav, and Rav signaled to him and said, "Epach, the correct version is the other way round." And like we have in our Mishnah, so that's what Rava Bar Shira was asking Rav Yosef. Did you not hear that Rav said that the correct version is like we have it, not like you said in the name of Shmuel and Rav Huna? Omer Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, v'simono samach samach. You want to remember what the correct version is? Put together the two samachs. Yosi has a samach, Osur has a samach, and Yosi Oyser, like in our version, not like they wanted to learn that Rabbi Yosi is the one that says it's Osa, that says that it's Muta, and Rabbi Meir is the one that says it's Osa. And the Gemara continues, V'af Shmuel Hodarbe. Shmuel, he was Chayzer. He changed his mind and came to the conclusion that the correct version is like we have in our Mishnah. Ditnan. There was a Mishnah, we learnt in a Mishnah, in Yevamos, and Cholza besandal she'enoy sheloy. There's a halacha of chalitza, which means that if a woman became a widow, if her husband passed away and they did not have children, her husband's brother has to marry her. There's a mitzvah for him to marry her, if it's possible. There's a whole masechta on the halacha. So this, we'll learn about it in Yevamos Be'ez Hashem. And if this man does not want to marry this woman, then he has to do chalitza. And the way it's done is that she wears a shoe that belongs to him, and she wears a shoe, and he takes off the shoe, and it's a whole process, and we'll learn about it in Yevamos. But the halacha is, it has to be done with a shoe. It has to be biblically defined shoe. And the Mishnah says that if chalitza basandal she'ein shelay, if she does chalitza with a shoe that's not his, or basandal shel eitz, or with a wooden shoe, or yishel smoil biyamin, or she puts a left-hand shoe onto her right foot, in all those cases, chalitza kshera, the chalitza is kosher. Vamrinon, mantana, who is the tana that says these above halachas? And as far as we're concerned, what's important to us now is the detail of sandal shel eitz, a shoe, a sandal made of wood. Is it called a shoe? Is it not called a shoe? Who is the opinion that holds it is? Omar Shmuel, Rav Meir says that even a wooden shoe is called a shoe, titnan, and now he's quoting our Mishnah. How is he quoting our Mishnah? Hakitea yoitza bekav shaloi, divi Rav Meir. A kitea, an amputee, is allowed to go out with this shoe, and this is a wooden shoe, and Rav Meir says that he's allowed to go out with it. Rav Yosi oisa, and Rav Yosi says it's osa, and Rav Meir must be the one who says it's considered a shoe. If it's considered a shoe, he can go out with it on Shabbos. And Rabbi Yosi says Osa, so we see that Shmuel quoted our Mishnah in the version that we have, and that's proof that Shmuel, that he backed out of what he said, that like Rabbi Yosi quoted in his name, that the version has to be the other way around. And now the Gemara says, V'af Rav Huna Hodarbe. Rav Huna also, that initially had the version different to our Mishnah, he also changed his mind. The Tanya, we learned in a Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in Idias, sandal shel sayodin, a type of shoe that was not made of leather as typical shoes were. It was made of straw, shel sayodin. These are people that were selling plaster, and when they were working with the plaster would eat away at their leather shoes, so they would cover their shoes with a type of shoe made of straw. And Tomei Medrash, since it's a shoe, and it's made for this person to put his full weight on it, and therefore, if this person was Tomei of Zov or Nida, then this shoe, this sandal shel sayodin, would become Tomas Medrash. V'isha chiletzes boy, and this shoe, even though it's made of straw, is considered a shoe that if a woman did chalitza with it, it would be valid. V'yotzen boy b'Shabbos, and you can go out with it on Shabbos because it's called a shoe. Divi Rabbi Akiva, that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. V'loy hoyduloy, the Chachomim did not agree with him. V'hotanya, and we learnt in the Mishnah, hoyduloy, in the Mishnah we learnt that the Chachomim did agree to Rabbi Akiva. Now, Omer Rav Huna, man hoyduloy, who agreed to Rabbi Akiva that it's called a shoe? Rabbi Meir. So here you have Rav Huna, and Rav Huna says that it's Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah that says that even though it's a shoe is not made of leather, nonetheless it's considered a shoe. And this straw is considered a shoe. It's a straw shoe. This sandal shel sayodim, says Rashi, was made of straw. And the truth is that the reason that Rabbi Akiva says that it's called a shoe is because Rabbi Akiva holds that since straw is a very hard material, therefore it's got exactly the same halachas as wood. And so you see here that you've got a wooden shoe, And Rav Huna says that it's Rav Meir who says that a wooden shoe is called a shoe, like Rav Akiva. So you see that Rav Huna changed his mind and followed the version of our Mishnah. Uman loy hoyduloy, who didn't agree with Rav Akiva, who assumes that a shoe that's not made of leather is not called a shoe? Rav Yosi. It's Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi Oyser. Rav Yosi says he's not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. It's not called a shoe. Omer Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef brings somebody else whose man loy hoyduloy, who did not agree with Rav Akiva that a shoe of Sayodin is called a shoe. Rav Yechanan ben Nuri. It was Rav Yechanan ben Nuri. Titnan, we learnt in the Mishnah. And here the Vilna Gaon and others are geirus as follows. Machzeles hakash, v'shveferes hakash, a mat or a tube made of straw. Rabbi Akiva matame. Rabbi Akiva says, straw has the same halacha as wood, and they are tame. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri matayr. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that straw is not considered wood, and since straw is not considered wood, then it's not one of the materials that, according to the Torah, are susceptible to Tumah Bechlel. So you see that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri also argued with Rabbi Akiva. Continues the Gemara. Omar Mar. We're just going back to what we just saw now from Rabbi Akiva, that Sandal Shel Sayodim Tomei Medras, that this straw shoe of the people that were selling plaster, they are Tomei Medras because it's a shoe that's made to support the person. Asks the Gemara, Holav Lehilucha Ovda. The intention of this shoe is not in order to be able to walk on it. The intention of this shoe was just in order to protect his leather shoes that he was wearing. We don't need this shoe to walk on. He's wearing leather shoes. And since we do not need this to walk on, why is it Tomei Medras? It's not made to support a person. It's made to protect his shoes. Omer Vacha Barav Ula, Shekein Asayid Matayel Be'ad Shemagia Lebeisei. Proof that this shoe of straw is also made to walk on is that even after he finishes his work and he no longer needs to protect his shoes, he keeps these shoes of straw on until he gets home. So you see that he would comfortably walk with them even when he's not working with his plaster. So you see that he uses it as a shoe, and therefore it can become Tomei Medras. Continues the Gemara. V'im yesh loy beis kibul ksisin Tomei. We saw that this kav, even though it's a receptacle to receive the stump of his foot, which has been amputated, but it nonetheless, according to Rabbi Yosi, he's not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos, and it's not mekabel tumah, according to everybody, even according to Rav Meir, it's not mekabel tumah, this is not called a receptacle. And the Mishnah says, im yesh lebeis kibul ksisin, if besides for carrying or holding the stump of his foot, there's also a receptacle to hold some rags, and then he would be carrying the rags with this kav, not like a general kav that does not have such a receptacle, that the foot, his leg, is carrying the shoe. It's carrying the receptacle. That's not called a receptacle. But if there's a place for rags, then the receptacle is carrying the rags, then it can become tomei, and it's called a klei kibul yesh loy toich. Says the Gemara, Omar Abaya, Tomei Tumas Meis. In our Mishnah, it just says Tomei. He can become, that if it has a receptacle for these rags, it can become Tomei. Rashi on the Mishnah tells us, Tomei Mekabel Tumas Maga. Any type of Tuma that becomes Tomei by touch, which is Tumas Meis, Tumas Sheretz, etc. And Rashi doesn't say anything about, can it become Tumas Medras? So Abaya holds, it's only Tomei Tumas Meis. It's called a clay kibble, and therefore it can be Mekabel Tumas Meis or any other Tumas Maga. It's Yesh Loi Toich V'ein Tomei Medras. Abaya holds that this type of a shoe is not Tomei Medras. Rava Omar Av Tomei Medras. Rava says it's considered a type of shoe that you put your whole weight on it, and therefore it is Tomei Medras. Omar Rava. Rava says, Minoa Minolo, I'll bring you proof that this kav, if it's got a receptacle to hold these rags, that is Tomei Tumas Medras. Ditnan, we learnt in the Mishnah, Agolo Shel Cotton, a wagon that a child would use to play with. He was playing with a wagon, and sometimes they would sit the child into this wagon that is really his toy. Tomei Medras, since it's made for the child sometimes to sit on it, you see that it's Tomei Medras. Everybody agrees that sometimes one uses this this cove to put one's whole weight on it. And everyone agrees that sometimes this wagon that's a child's toy is also used to sit the child in it. But it's not the primary purpose of these things. The cove, the primary purpose of this cove is just in order to hide the fact that it's amputated, it's a tachshit, but it's not made to hold his weight. Sometimes it's used to hold his weight. Rava says sometimes used as a medrus is enough to be Tommy medrus, and brings proof from the agolo shel cotton. V'abaya Omar, Abaya says, don't bring me proof from there. Hosom somichi lave. Over there, the child is constantly leaning on it. That's how this toy works. He's leaning on this wagon. Hocha loy somichi lave. Over here, this cove is not made in order to be rested on, to lean on, and therefore it's not mekabel tumas medrus. Omar Abaya. Abaya says, I'll bring you proof that it's not Tommy Tumas Medrus. Minoa Minelo. Tanya, we learnt in a braisa, makel shel zkenim, a walking stick of an old person, toher miklum, doesn't become Tommy at all. Why does it not become Tommy at all? So it doesn't become Tumas Maga because it doesn't have a receptacle. And it doesn't become Tumas Medrus, even though sometimes he would put his weight on it, but sometimes is not enough. Since the primary use of this stick is not in order to put his weight on it, therefore, Abaya says it does not become, that Abaya explains it does not become Tumas Medrus. Rava says that I'll explain to you why, even though I think that a cove, says Rava, is Mekabel Tumas Medrus, but with the walking stick is not Mekabel Tumas Medrus. Hossam, over there with the case of the walking stick, Literutse Sugya, it's only made in order to straighten his steps, to make sure that his back stays straight and that his feet don't collapse. But it's not there to carry his weight. The Terutse Sugya Avida, it was made just in order to straighten his steps. Hocha, but in the case of the kav, of this amputee, Lismoich Ilavehu Da Avida, it was initially made in order to support him. V'somich Aleh, and he supports himself on it, and therefore it is Tommy Tumas Medrus. And like we said before, Abaya holds that it's not made. Lav l'smicha avida, says Rashi, it's not made in order to support him. It's only there to be a tachshit, just in order to hide the fact that his foot's been amputated. Continues the Gemara. And this part of the Gemara, the Bach says, is going back on kisei usmuchos sheloi. We saw in the Mishnah that somebody the way he would walk around is by having this chair strapped to the back of him, and he would use these bench-type crutches to propel himself forward, and he would have smuchos, he would have these little coverings at the end of his stump that would be made either of leather or of wood in order to support himself a little bit whilst he's moving forward. So Tomei and Medrus, they are Tomei Medrus. Ve'ein yoitzimem b'Shabbos, he's not allowed to go out with them on Shabbos, like we saw before from Rashi, they might fall off. Ve'ein nechnosim b'hem la'azara, since they are considered shoes, he's not allowed to go with them into the Azara. Says the Gemara, Toni, Tona, the Amora that was used to reading Brises in front of the Chachomim, Kamedi Rabbi Yochanan in front of Rabbi Yochanan, quoted the following brisa: Nichnosin b'hem la'azara. He's allowed to go with these smuchos into the azara. Omer le, Rabbi Yochanan said to this person that was reading the brises, Ani sheina isha choyletzes boy. I learnt in a brisa that woman is allowed to do chalitza with it, and therefore it must be called a shoe. So how can you say v'at omras? That almost nichnosin, and you say you're allowed to go into the Azara, anything considered a shoe, you're not allowed to go into the Azara with it. How can it be that you, whoever reading the Braisa, are saying that I'm allowed to go with it into the Azara? Tony Rabbi Yechonon says, this is how you have to read the Braisa. Ein nichnosin ben Azara, you're not allowed to go into the Azara with it, because it's called a shoe, and a woman can do chalitza with it, and therefore, you also may not go into the Harabais with it. Continues the Gemara. Luktamin tahira. We saw at the end of the Mishnah that this luktamin is tahir. It doesn't become tomei. It's not called a kli in Hilchas Tuma. Ve'in yetzin ben is not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. What is this luktamin? Asks the Gemara. My luktamin. So there's three explanations. Omer Bavo, Rabavo says chamra de'achva. the clowns would typically hang onto their backs a type of a donkey, something that looked like a donkey, and the donkey itself would be positioned between their legs, and this donkey was supported on their shoulders, and it looked as if this clown was riding on a donkey. That's this luktamin, and the reason it's toir is because it's not a kli, it hasn't got a receptacle, and even though it looks like he's riding on it, and therefore we would consider Tumas Medrus, but since he does not put his weight on it, it just looks like he's riding on it, therefore it's toir. Rava bar Papa Omar, others say it should say Rafron bar Papa Omar, Kshiri. These luktamin are stilts, which when a person was going through some deep mud, in order to help him wade through it, he would use these stilts. And so the discussion here exactly why it's not Tumas Medrus, his weight is on it, but it seems that the main purpose of these kshiri is just in order to help him wade through the mud and not actually to support his weight. Rava bar Avuna Omar, or Rava bar Avuna Omar, primi, it's these masks that were typically used to frighten or entertain the children, and these are toir and one's not allowed to go out with them on Shabbos. Says the next Mishnah, Habonim, the young boys, Yoitzin b'ksharim, are allowed to go out with knots. We'll soon see what these knots are. Upnei melachim, and princes, bezugin, are allowed to go out with bells, golden ornamental bells. V'chol adam, the truth is anyone's allowed to go out with these bells. Ela shedibru chachomim b'hoive, the chachomim spoke in a language that was prevalent at the times, and at the time, it was only princes that were used to going out with these bells. But anyone who chooses to go out with such a bell is allowed to go out on Shabbos with them. It's an ornament and it's mutar. Says the Gemara, Mike Shorim, what are these knots that these boys are allowed to go out with? So we're going to have two explanations in the Gemara. The first one is as follows. Omar, Ado, Mori, Omar of Nachman bar Baruch, Omar of Ashi bar Ovin, Omar of Yehuda. Kshurei Pua. It's these knots made of pua, which is a type of plant, and this plant would typically hang it around a person's neck, and it would have healing properties. Rashi says he doesn't know which illness it healed, but that's what these kishrei pua would do. And these boys were allowed to go out with these ksharim on Shabbos, since it's there for medical purposes. One's allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Omar Abaya. Abaya said, Omro li aim, my mother told me. And we know this was not his mother. His mother died when he was a baby. But this is the person, the woman that was looking after him when he was growing up. And he called her aim, a mother. Omro li aim. Klosa, if you're wearing three of these knots, moikma, it just contains the illness, to make sure it doesn't get worse. Chamisho, if you're wearing five, Mosu, it heals the illness. Shiva, if you're wearing seven, afilu lukshofim maili, it even helps to ward off the witchcraft. Continues the Gemara. Omar of Acha bar Yaakov. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says that these kshorim, the kshurei pu'a, these knots of these plants, there's a condition, a few conditions, and only when complying to these conditions, these knots actually have the healing properties. What are the conditions? V'hu d'loy chazi le'ishimsha, that these knots have not been exposed to sunlight. V'siara, they have not been exposed to moonlight. V'loy chazi le'mitra, they have never been exposed to rain. V'loy shemir le'koil barzela, they have never heard the sound of metal. V'kol tarnagoyla, they have never heard the sound of a rooster. V'koil nigri, or the sound of footsteps. Omer of Nachman Bayitzhok says, if there's so many conditions, nofal puta, the skula, the virtues of this pua, of these knots, of this plant, has babira, has fallen into a pit, it's useless. It's impossible to find the types of these knots that can comply with all these conditions, so for all intents and purposes, it's useless skula. Asks the Gemara, my iria bonim, according to what Yuriv Adamori, Omar of Nachon Bar Boruch, Omar of Ashi said, Bar Ovin, Omar Rav Yehuda, you explained that the Mishnah that says that the kshuri, the knots that these boys would go out with, are these therapeutic or these healthy or something that cures, made of this plant of pua. My area bonim, why only boys? Afilu bonois, the girls nami. They should also be allowed to go out with them on Shabbos. Ma'iriyaktanim, why just little boys? Afilu gedoilim nami, adults also. Elo ma'ik shorim, kihod omar, ovin bar huna, omrav choma bar guria. And this is the beginning of a sugya of five different remedies from Ovin bar Huna Omer of Choma bar Guria. And the first one is knots. And we'll soon see what they are. When it says here that the little boys are allowed to go out with the knots, it's referring to the knots of this remedy by Ovin bar Huna Omer of Choma bar Guria. Ben Shiesh Loi Gaguin al Oviv, a little boy that is yearning for his father and being over. Too much yearning is dangerous, it's unhealthy. So he would noitel ratzua mimin ol shel yumin. They would take a strap from his right hand shoe, the koisher loy besmoile, and tie it onto his left hand, and that would take away his yearning, his ga'aguim. Omer of Nachman by Yitzchok, v'simonoch tfilin. The simon to remember is tfilin. With tfilin, your right hand ties the straps onto the left hand. Here too, you take the strap of the right hand and you tie it onto the left hand of the right foot. You take the strap of the right foot and you tie it onto the left hand, similar to tefillin. V'chilufa sakante, if you take the strap of the left foot and you tie it onto the boy's right hand, then the gaguim, the yearning, is going to get even worse and it will be dangerous. Continues the Gemara. Omar ovin barhuno, omar of choma bar guria. Another remedy from the same source. Schufei Kasa atibura b'Shabbos. A person is allowed to take a warm or hot empty cup and invert it, it's upside down, it's hot, possibly he poured hot water into it first and then emptied it, and now he's putting the opening of this cup onto atibura, onto his navel b'Shabbata, because of something in his intestines that had gone out of place, and the hot cup, it helps to put things back in place. Shapir Domi, one is allowed to do this on Shabbos, even though one is not allowed to engage in healing on Shabbos, since over here you're not using any medicine, you're not using any potions, therefore the gzeira that the Chachomim said, don't use medicine because you may come to grind the herbs, the spices, and that's also on Shabbos. Therefore the Chachomim said, don't use any medication on Shabbos. Since here we're not using medication, we're just using this cup, it's muta. Va'oma ovin barhuna omer v'chom bar guria. A third remedy from the same source. Muta losuch shemen umelech b'Shabbos. One is allowed to smear oil that has salt within it on Shabbos. And they would do this if somebody became intoxicated and one wanted to relieve them of their intoxication, they would put some salt into the oil, and they would smear the oil on the person's palms and on the soles of his feet, and that sometimes helped. Kihod Rav Huna mi Bei Rav. Rav Huna, who was learning in the Beis Medrash of his Rebbe Rav, V'rav mi Bei Reb Chiya, and Rav was learning in the Beis Medrash of his Rebbe Reb Chiya. V'Reb Chiya mi Bei Rebbe, Reb Chiya was learning in the Beis Medrash of his Rebbe Rebbe. And it was typical that the Rebbes, in order that the Talmidim should be able to absorb their Torah learning, would give them some wine, and that would sometimes intoxicate them a little bit. And sometimes, especially when the students were very prestigious and prominent people, then the Rabbonim would do, when the end of the Shir, before they went home, they would try and help them relieve themselves from their intoxication. So these three examples were Rav had a Talmud Rav Huna, Rav Chia had a Talmud Rav, and Rebbe had a Talmud Rav Chia. What they would do to these Talmidim, kihava mivasma, when they would become intoxicated from the wine they had when they were learning, maisa, they would bring mishcha umilcha, oil with some salt in it, v'shayfile legavaisa diyadayu, and they would rub it, they would smear it on the inside of his hands, the palm of his hands, v'gavaisa dekarayu, and the inside of his foot, meaning the soles of his foot, v'omri, and they would say as follows. And it seems this is a type of incantation that they would say that would help that's how this remedy would work. Kehecha de tzil ha'omishcha, in the same way as this oil is becoming thinned from the heat of the body, whatever it is, when they would smear it onto the palms and soles of these Talmidim, they would become thinned. In the same way as the oil is getting thinned out, litzel chamrei so too the influence of the wine should get thinned out. De planio bar planiso, of Ploini, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, mentioning the mother's name. V'iloi. What would happen if either didn't work, or if these, the oil or the salt was not available? Maisa shia de dano, they would bring the clay seal of a barrel. V'shori le b'maya, and they would soak it in water. V'omar and say as follows, ki heicha de litzel hai shia, in the same way as this clay seal is getting worn away, is getting thinner from the water in which it's being soaked, leitzel chamrei, so too the influence of the wine should get thinned, de planio bar planisa, of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, mentioning his mother's name. V'omar ovin bar huna, this is a fourth remedy from the same source, omar of chomer bar guria, muta lechanik b'shabbos, in certain cases, in certain illnesses, when one of the bones and near a person's neck had become dislodged, they would do a strangling type of therapy that would help this illness, that would help straighten out the bones. One is allowed to do this on Shabbos, and again, he's not using any medication, he's not using a potion or a mixture or anything, and therefore it was mutter on Shabbos. V'omar ovin bar huna, omar of chomer bar guria, a fifth remedy from the same source, lefufe yenuka b'shabbat or shapir domi, one is allowed to wrap up a newly born infant would sometimes come out a little bit deformed because of the contractions, wherever he went to before the birth, and in order to straighten out all his limbs, they would wrap it in the lefufe yenuka, they would wrap it in some clothing or whatever procedure they would do, and it was mutter to do this on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Rav Papa Masni Bonim. Rav Papa learnt two halachas to do with sons, and they are the first remedy that we saw here when the son was yearning for his father, and the last one that we saw here where the little child was born and needed straightening out. And we'll soon see what this is, but he learnt, Rav Papa quoted both these halachas, Rav Zvid Masni Ben. But Rav Zvid only quoted the first one, not the last one. It didn't mean they didn't have them. But Rav Papa quoted both of these from the same source, from Ovin Bar Huna, Omar Rav Chomer Bar Guria. But Rav Zvid, he only learned the first one in his name. And the last one, where the child that needed straightening out, he heard this remedy in somebody else's name. Rav Papa Masni Bonim, V'Tarvayu Masni Luhu, B'Ovin Bar Huna. Rav Papa, who learned both these halachas, also remedy number one, also remedy number five, both to do with sons, and he learned both of them in the name of Ovin Bar Huna. Rav Zvid Masni Ben, Kamaisa Masni B'Ovin Bar Huna, the first one he learned in the name of Ovin Bar Huna, V'hai, and this last one with a child that needed straightening out, Masni Lo B'Rabba Bar Bar Chona, he heard this remedy in the name of Rabba Bar Bar Chona, Doma Rabba Bar Bar Chona, Lifufa Yenuka B'Shabbat, Shapir Domi, this halacha regarding straightening out the child is Muta on Shabbos, and he heard it not from Ovin Bar Huna, but from Rabba Bar Bar Chona. Continues the Gemara. Omar Abaya, Omro Li Aim. This is the second time in this Omud that Abaya is telling us something in the name of his mother. As we said before, it wasn't his mother, it was the woman that looked after him. Kol Minyona, whenever there's an incantation that has to be said and that accompanied some type of a remedy, and this incantation had to be repeated, how many times did you have to repeat the incantation? Bishmod, so we're not yet up to how many times, we'll get there in a minute, but Bishmod Ima, when you mention the person's name, then you have to mention his name, the son of, or daughter of, and you quote the mother's name, not the father's name. Another thing he heard from his mother, V'chol K'tori B'smola, any type of knots that they would tie onto the left hand. And this is probably referring to the straps that we saw before, that they will take a strap from the right shoe and tie it onto the left hand. V'omar Abaya, Omro Li'im, Kol Minyona, the amount of times that you had to recite this incantation to Mefarshi, if when you are doing the remedy, you're given explicit instruction how many times to say it, Kedemefarshi, then follow the instructions and do it as many times as you're supposed to. Rashi says it was often 3 times, sometimes even more. Deloy Mefarshi, but if in the instructions it did not tell you how many times to recite the incantation, Arboin v'chad zimni, you should say it 41 times. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Yoitzin be'even tkuma. Even tkuma was a type of stone that would preserve a pregnancy. One is allowed to go out with such a preserving stone b'Shabbos on Shabbos. Mishum Reb Meir Omru, it was said in the name of Reb Meir, af b'mishkal even tkuma. If you had a counterweight, if you put this preserving stone on one side of the scales and you put an object on the other side of the scales and they weighed, they were exactly equal, the same weight, then this counterweight of the Even Tkuma is also serves as protecting a pregnancy. And the Gemara says, Loishi Pila, not only is a woman who's already had miscarriages in the past allowed to go out with such a stone, Eloshemo Tapil, even if she's just afraid that maybe she'll miscarry. Veloisha Ibra, and it doesn't even have to be that she's absolutely certain that she's pregnant. Eloshemo Tisabir Vitapil, even if she's just not sure, maybe she's pregnant and maybe she'll miscarry, she's also allowed to go out with this stone or the counterweight of this stone on Shabbos. Omer of Yemer Bar Shlamya, Mishmeida Abaya, Vuhud Ichvon Viskil. Rav Yemer Bar Shlamya says in the name of Abaya, it must be that this counterweight is naturally the exact same weight as this preserving stone. But if you had an object there that wasn't exactly the same weight, you had to add to it or take off it, then as a counterweight, it does not serve as preserving a pregnancy. Boya Abaya, Abaya asked, Mishkel de Mishkel, what happens if you have a counterweight of the counterweight? Do we say that in the same way as a counterweight of this preserving stone has the same qualities as the preserving stone to preserve the pregnancy? So do we say the same applies to a counterweight of that counterweight? It also preserves the pregnancy? Or no? Is it just the original counterweight and not more? Says the Gemara. And Mishkal de Mishkal Mai, says the Gemara. Teiku, we have to let that stand. We do not have an answer for that. Continues the Gemara. V'omar Abaya, we're going back to what Abaya said in the name of Aim, his mother, or the woman that looked after him. Omro li Aim. Le'ishto bas yoima. What happens if a person every day has a fever? It's a regular occurrence. The Gemara is soon going to call it urche, meaning it was regular, a daily illness. What should he do? Lishkoil zuza chivra. He should take a newly minted coin called a zuz. V'lezel lemilchasa. He should go to a salt evaporator. What they would do is they would pour seawater probably into these pools, and then they would allow the sun to evaporate the water, and they would be left with salt. He would go to these salt evaporators with the newly minted zuz coin, v'liskel maskele milcha, and he would take as much salt as the exact weight of this zuz, ulatzairi, and he would tie it bechalolad beitzavar, where his shirt is opened for his neck, b'niro barka, and he would tie it with a strand of hair. V'iloi, if it was not available, if he couldn't get all these things, what should he do? Leisiva proshas drochim, this person who has fever every day, he should sit at the crossroads. V'chizochozi shum shemono gamlo, when he sees an ant which is very large, the Dori Midi, and this ant is carrying something, carrying a weight. Lishkele, you should take the ant, Vilashadya, and you should put it, Beguvta Dunachashta, into a copper tube. Vilasotme, and you should close it, Beivra, with lead. Vilachosme, and you should seal it, Beshisin Gushpanki, with 60 seals. Vilabarzule, and you should shake it. Vilidre, and you should carry it, v'lei malei, and you should say to this ant, tu'unoch, your weight or lies on me. U'tu'unoi, and my weight, referring to and alluding to this illness, that's regular fever that he has every day, aloch, should be on you instead of me. The son of Rav Huna said to Rav Ashi, you're taking a risk if you do this. V'dilma inish ashkeche, it could be that 5 minutes or whenever before you found this ant, somebody else found his ant, and he was also sick, and he put his sickness onto this ant. Dilma inish ashkeche, another person found this ant, v'ifsik be, and his illness stopped because he'd already given it to the ant. And now the ant is carrying that person's illness, and you're saying to the ant, your weight should be on me, and my weight on you, you're just going to get the other person's illness. Elo leimele, you should say as following to the ant, tu'unoi utu'unoch aloch. Not only should you carry your own weight, you should also carry my weight. Vi'iloi. And if this doesn't work, or if he can't do this, for example, he doesn't have an ant, he doesn't have the tube, he doesn't have all the things we mentioned here. Lishkoil kuzo chaduta. Then he should take a vessel, a brand new earthenware vessel, v'leze lenara, and he should go to the river. V'leimele, he should say to the river, nara, nara, river, river, oisfon, lend me kuzo demaya, water to fill up this earthenware vessel. Le'urche, it should work, it should help the regular illness that I have. De'iskaluli, this urcha, this regular illness that has come upon me. And he fills up, it doesn't say this in the Gemara, but it seems that he now fills up this vessel, this earthenware vessel, with water from the river. V'lihadir shev zimnal reshe, and he turns around above his head 7 times, this vessel filled with the water that he's now, so to speak, borrowed from the river. V'lashadion l'achiri, and he should pour the water, he should throw the water, should toss the water behind him back into the river. V'leimale, and he should say to the river, naro, naro, river, river, shkoil mayad, obviously, take the water that you've given me. D'urcha d'iklabi, and this is of this illness, of this regular illness, d'iklali, that come upon me. B'yoyme osa, it came in a day, b'yoyme ozil, and on its day it should leave. It came on its day, and on its day it should leave. And so to speak, with the water, he's throwing the illness into the river. And obviously these are things we don't really understand, and these are not things that should be practiced, but that's what it says in the Gemara. In the next shir, we're going to continue from here.